Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15, and the gospel according to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Today's message is titled, Take It to the Lord in Prayer. Hear the word of God from Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Here ends the first lesson, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then He said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy Word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that Word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Prayer. Prayer is integral to the Christian life. Prayer is as breathing to the faith that resides in you. In 1535, Luther put together a little book for his barber. It almost looks like in his picture, his barber had a bowl would just put on Luther's head, but he had a barber. And this is the book he wrote for his barber about prayer, 1535. This little book was practical advice on prayer, and it was simply titled, A Simple Way to Pray. Luther recommends beginning the day and closing the day with prayer, with the emphasis to begin the day with prayer, lest you not pray at all that day. From A Simple Way to Pray, quoting Luther, be the first business, prayer, be the first business of the morning and the last of night. Guard yourself carefully against those false, deluding ideas which tell you, wait a little while. I will pray in an hour. First, I must tend to this or that. Such thoughts get you away from prayer into other affairs, which so hold your attention, involve you, that nothing comes of prayer for that day. Pray first, lest you forget to pray that day, is Luther's part of his simple way to pray. Turning to the Large Catechism, the third part, which is the Lord's Prayer, Luther writes for us, and this is from the Book of Concord, the Tappert edition, 1959 translation of the German. Again, the Tappert edition, 1959 translation from the German. Now remember the first parts in the Large Catechism. The first part is the Ten Commandments. The second part is the Apostles' Creed. Then the third part is the Lord's Prayer. And this is how the third part begins. It begins with this, Luther writes, we have heard what we are to do and believe. The best and most blessed life consists of these things. Now follows the third part, how we are to pray. Mankind is in such a situation that no one can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, even though he has begun to believe. Beside, the devil, along with the world and our flesh, resists our efforts with all its power. Consequently, nothing is so necessary as to call upon God incessantly and drum into his ears our prayer, that he may give, preserve, and increase in us faith and obedience to the Ten Commandments, and remove all that stands in our way and hinders us from fulfilling them. That we may know what and how to pray, our Lord Christ himself has taught us both the way and the words, as we shall see. As Luther expresses what the Scriptures declare, prayer is such that nothing is more important than prayer for the faith in us. Nothing's more important than prayer for the faith in us. Nothing is so necessary as to call upon the Lord God. And did you catch the way Luther says to pray? Incessantly, like pounding a drum with all your ability to drum your prayer into the Lord's ear, for the Lord to give, preserve, and increase the faith in us, with the living out of obedience in the Ten Commandments. For our prayers that God would remove all hindrances that stand in the way of living out the faith. In short, what is most important for us, most essential, is to pray. Perhaps there have been times that seemed in worship that the time of intercessory prayer of the church went on and on and on and on and on, almost forever. Yet is not this time of such importance, beating, carrying such power, that taking the time to intercede, to pound on a drum, drumming into God's ears, are intercessions? Prayer is essential. Prayer is powerful. As we heard a few weeks ago, at the prayer of Elijah the prophet, rains came after several years of drought. Luther continues in the Large Catechism, which was published in 1529, "Before we explain the Lord's Prayer part by part, it is very necessary to exhort and draw the people to prayer, as Christ and the apostles also did. It is our duty to pray because God has commanded it." And then towards the end of the introduction part of the third part, Luther writes, "Each of us should form the habit from his youth up to pray daily for all his needs. Whenever he is aware of anything that affects him or other people around him, such as preachers, magistrates, neighbors, servants, and, as we have said, he should always remind God of his commandment and promise, knowing that he will not have them despised. This I say, because I would like to see the people brought again to pray rightly and not act so crudely and coldly that they would become daily more inept at praying. This is just what the devil wants and works for with all his might, for he is well aware what damage and harm he suffers when prayer is in proper use." A little farther on, "This much we know, that all our safety and protection consists in prayer alone." A little farther, "For whenever a good Christian prays, 'Dear Father, thy will be done,' God replies from on high, 'Yes, dear child, it shall indeed be done, in spite of the devil and all the world." After writing about the full armor of God in Ephesians, Paul includes this, beginning Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 18. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions." Mind you, this is after putting on the full armor of God he describes in Ephesians 6. Now, beginning at verse 18, Paul writes, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Paul recognized prayers of others was vitally important to him being able to preach the gospel. Jesus prayed often. Luke chapter 5 verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke chapter 6 verse 12. "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." Mark chapter 1 verse 35. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Early in the morning, all through the night, often withdrew to be by himself, Jesus would pray. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus would pray so earnestly that droplets of blood mixed with his sweat. Jesus prayed, Paul prayed, the apostles prayed, all of them prayed. The early church prayed. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." Prayer. Prayer with persistence and with ardency. Prayer even with brazenness. Brazenness in prayer by having confidence in the promises of the Lord God. These are more important than rote praying with mindless repetition, saying the same thing over and over mindlessly, praying with persistence, ardency, brazenness, the promises of God, more important than rote praying. Praying that truly and deeply flows from the heart is more powerful than the empty tomes of a mantra. And you notice those empty tomes of mantras are found in all those earthly religions all around us. That repetition of repetition of repetition. No, pray earnestly and deeply in ardency, brazenness, persistently from the heart. Pulling more from Luther's practical advice on prayer, and this is from Luther's seminary. With regards to how prayer should be answered, your trust must not set a goal for God, not set a time and place, not specify the way or the means of His fulfillment, but it must entrust all of that to His will, wisdom, and omnipotence. Just wait cheerfully and undoubtedly, undauntingly, for the fulfillment without wanting to know how and where, how soon, how late, or by what means. His divine wisdom will find an immeasurably better way and method, time and place, than we can imagine. In other words, pray. Let your requests be known, and then trust God to answer in the most fabulous, most wondrous way, according to His will, His place, His timing. It'll be better than we can imagine. Pray! Pray! Pray and trust the Lord God to answer, and in the manner and timing that is most glorious to the Lord God. Prayer will be answered in the manner most glorifying the Lord God. Trust that the Lord's method, time, and place will be so much better and so much greater than what your thoughts can conceive. Remember, it is written in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning of verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Trust God to answer prayers in a manner that glorifies the Lord God. First off, Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. Begins here with relationship. Approach the Lord God as Father. Come, draw near. Come in a manner and sit in His lap. This type of relationship, this type of address to God was so different. It was unheard of by the Jewish people. Remember when the disciples were trying to keep the children from coming to Jesus? Jesus says, no, let the children come unto me. And can you imagine the picture of the children just coming and wanting to crawl into His lap and hold on to Him and hug Him and all that? When you pray, pray, Father. Can you see the picture? Remember when you were a child and you crawled into your daddy's lap. That's the image that Jesus is giving us. Come, draw near, come in a manner and sit in His lap. This type of relationship, this way of addressing God was so different. It was unheard of for the Jewish people to do so. God is so holy, holy, holy. God is so wondrous and unapproachable that they would not even speak His name. Even that was not done. You don't speak His name. Approach the Lord God of heaven as a child would approach his father. Come near. Sit in a father's lap. And those father's arms, when you sit in the lap, didn't the dad's arms come around you and just hold you? The Lord God of heaven, with arms around, holding and hugging, holding close, come to the Lord God, your Father in heaven, in this manner. Is it preposterous? It really does sound preposterous, but not at all. For this is exactly how we are to come, as a child comes to his Father. Father. Jesus could have chosen any word speakable or unspeakable at that time for human nature. And he says, when you pray, say, Father. From the small catechism, Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? Answer. Here God would encourage us to believe that He is truly our Father, and we are truly His children. In order that we may approach Him boldly and confidently in prayer, even as beloved children approach their dear Father. Jesus then goes on to tell a parable of a neighbor asking for bread in the middle of the night. Through importuning persistence, the bread is finally given. In like manner, we are to ask, seek, and knock. For it will be given, be found, and the door will be open. But those words are not the real point of the parable. Ask, seek, knock, receive, etc., door open. Those are not the real point of the parable. The real point comes a little later. And it's found in this. Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? In other words, give what gives faith. Give what builds up and increases and strengthens faith. The Holy Spirit. You see, if we who are of this world know how to give good gifts, how much more our Father who is in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, will give the faith and build up the faith, strengthen the faith, nurture the faith, embolden the faith. Ask, seek, knock for faith to be born in you, faith to increase in you, faith to become such that you know the Father in heaven loves you as His own child, His beloved child. Pray for the faith in you. Increase along with courage to counter what the world is doing these days. Heed these words written in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Heed these words. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. Listen again to these words from verse 8, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. These words are timely, really timely. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on human traditions and the basic principles of this world. I tell you, beware of the World Health Organization. Beware of the World Economic Forum and their philosophies of healthcare, climate emergencies, and business ESG scores. Beware of Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, and Soros, whose wealth is being used for much mischief, pushing forward the philosophies of this world. Prayer is what's needed to counter the things of this world and counter those who are pushing more and more these hollow and deceptive philosophies, such as the deception of alphabet soup identities to choose from instead of the God-given and blessed male and female. And don't count on truth to counteract these philosophies of these days from the mainstream media, For their journalism is simply pushing the ideological narrative. It's evidenced as the Springfield News Sun this past week with the breaking news extra on Thursday and this morning's front page above the fold article about rights in flux in Ohio. Prayer is needed, for the heart and souls of people are at stake. Prayer is the power we need to go to. It's a prayer power that has been given to us. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus says, pray. Pray. Jesus says, ask in His name. Says, ask, seek, knock. As it's written in Luke chapter 11, we heard this morning, and it will be given you. Ask and pray and believe, and you will receive. Ask and pray and believe, you will receive. You've probably heard that. Ask and pray and believe, you will receive. When removed from the context of Jesus teaching those things, that then turns prayer into like a magic lamp to rub. You ask it, you receive it, you believe it, you rub it, ask it, receive it, believe it just the right way, and you will receive, because you have a genie at your beck and call to give you what you desire, money, power, fame, right? You ask, you believe, you receive. You've heard it said that way. It's not what it means. Remember the Luke 11, the point is, how much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit? Those who ask. The faith. It's about the faith. Or what happens? Ask, believe, you'll receive. What happens with unanswered prayer? It's turned into a belittling. You must not have enough faith. You don't believe hard enough. You're not praying hard enough. Has that been said to you? When you haven't had prayer answered in the way and time you wanted it to be? Johnny Erickson Tada concluded she did not have enough faith when she prayed for healing to get up out of her wheelchair, prayed for motion and function to return to her arms and legs, to be restored from being a quadriplegic, from that quadriplegic paralysis. And when she did not get up from her chair, she was not healed. She beat herself up with, you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith, and just started pounding herself down and down into deeper and farther depression. Till she came to the point, she would rather be with Jesus in this chair than up and walking without Jesus. And if you know the story of Johnny Erickson Tada, from that chair, Johnny has been used by God in many ways that only from her wheelchair could she have done so. With her ministry, Johnny and Friends, and especially Wheels for the World. Was her prayer answered? Yes. Did she have faith? Yes. Look what God has done through her. Remember Luther's wise words I shared earlier this morning. Your trust must not set a goal for God, not set a time and place, not specify the way or the means of His fulfillment, but it must entrust all of that to His will, wisdom, and omnipotence. His divine wisdom will find an immeasurable better way and method, time and place than we can imagine. Martin Luther has also written, based on his study of Scripture, God wants us to pray. And He wants to hear our prayers, not because we are worthy, but because He is merciful. Let that sink in. God wants to hear our prayers. He wants us to pray, and He wants to hear our prayers, not because we are worthy, but because He is merciful. Take your aches, your pains, take your needs to the Lord in prayer. Take your sickness, your sorrow, your sadness to the Lord in prayer. Pray, pray and expect. Pray with brazenness and persistence and expect. pray in a manner that trusts in the Lord's goodness and the Lord's love for you. Trust in the Lord's goodness and love for you and His love for you to see you through the storms of life. Betsy, she died in Ravensbrück. Yes, Betsy died in Ravensbrück. Corey was miraculously released from Ravensbrück. Corey Ten Boom would eventually travel the world, speaking of God's love and redeeming forgiveness, reconciliation, and grace. Prayers were answered in a way that God was glorified. Martin Luther, no one can believe how powerful prayer is and what it can affect except those who have learned it by experience. Whenever I have prayed earnestly, I have been heard and obtained more than I prayed for. God sometimes delays, but He always comes. It's hard when your prayers aren't answered in the manner you want. It's hard when prayers are not answered in the timing you want. It's hard when prayers aren't answered for the healing of a loved one you've been praying for. It seems like God is so far away and not listening. At times like this, people have lost faith. They've lost the ability to trust. May that not be so with you. All the more trust in His goodness to answer in His manner, in His time, in His ways. He always comes. He always comes. Again, no one can believe how powerful prayer is and what it can affect except those who have learned it by experience. Moreover, when I have prayed earnestly, I have been heard and have obtained more than I prayed for. God sometimes delays, but He always comes. I encourage you to look through your life and see how God has answered prayer. There was a time and age when this land, this nation would gather together in prayer, and the mighty hand of deliverance of God would come. What would happen if this land and nation would gather in prayer during these troubled times? He always comes, the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do you think there will be a call to prayer from on high in this land? No, not in these current circumstances. But we can go to the Lord Most High in prayer. We can lift up our voices in prayer. We can gather and gather those around you in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer for the challenges of life of these days will only be answered by us going to the one who is Most High in prayer. And here again these words Martin Luther experienced through the challenges of the Reformation. No one can believe how powerful prayer is and what it can affect except those who have learned it by experience. Whenever I have earnestly prayed, I have heard and have obtained more than I prayed for. God sometimes delays, but He always comes. He always comes. So take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it with brazenness. Take it with persistence. Take it with hope. Take it with trust. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And you will be heard. And God will answer. Sometimes He delays. But He answers and will give more than we pray for. Because He always comes. Amen. And Amen.